Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It's Friday night. Something really special happens on Friday nights, Audrey. We get to do this show, and we get to recount some of the cool people we've actually met and are going to talk to on the air. And this, a couple weeks ago, we had a really, really cool guy that you helped bring into town, a Mike Moe from SVG.
GSV.
I mean, GSV. See, I can't even get my Silicon Valley capital. I'm thinking Silicon Valley Global, but it's Global Silicon Valley. That's right. Where my brain is. But, I mean, what an amazing guy. He was our keynote speaker for our Three Rivers Educational Technology Conference that we had right back in the very beginning of November. And I didn't realize just how plugged in he was when it came to educational technology, how his whole thing is about educational technologies and moving things forward.
Yeah, he gave a great keynote that really talked about just the uncanny disparities that exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And while there might be 2,000 or more billionaires in the world, you think about 22,000 people a day dying from starvation.
Exactly.
And right. How much college education costs, and you know what? How many people are homeless in his home city of San Francisco? And you know, we're living in these bifurcated times that are highly exacerbated in places like Silicon Valley and San Francisco and Seattle. And Mike is a Midwestern guy, so you know he comes from the Midwest. He's got that. I don't want to say simplicity, but actually that kind of groundedness.
Groundedness, I think, is the correct word.
In his demeanor, and I've known him, it must be like almost a decade now.
But I think so.
He is able to really separate himself from what are the big issues in terms of capital and investment. And, he's wicked smart when it comes to all that. And he's made some great investments. He's certainly been, upfront in a lot of amazing deals. But he also is a person who's saying, I can't just do that. I have to do something different, and we have to change the way people learn and create a level playing field. And that was the speech that he gave.
Yeah. I mean, just the whole idea that education is what is the great leveler.
Right. It's like with Duolingo, what Louise talked about. It's his whole vision and purpose in his company is the great leveler. So, that piece was great, and he came at a time less than a week after the Tree of Life massacre, and is a deeply caring person. And, there are lots of people who have lots of words and prayers and thoughts and don't know what to say, don't know what to think, et cetera. But for him to come and to have this kind of true somberness and saying it's really about the more that we can educate, the more that we can unite, the more that we don't leave people behind, and that's the forefront of the work that we do.
Exactly.
And him to be a real champion in that space, and that's his number one passion. So that's cool. That's cool that he came to Pittsburgh, and you know how we met him in Pittsburgh? It was years ago. Bill Campbell was alive. Right. He was part of Bill Campbell's posse, and he would say Bill Campbell coached him. And that's how we all met.
Right. In case our listeners don't know, Bill Campbell is like the founder
was
of Intuit.
The coach. He was the president of Intuit.
Of Intuit.
And he was also the president and the coach at Columbia University. Comes from Homestead. His parents were teachers. His father was superintendent in the Homestead schools. And he always maintained his love for that part of the city, that Homestead, Pittsburgh. And he's, you know, has contributed a tremendous amount to that community.
Absolutely.
But even still, even right before he passed away, he still brought his friends, his own posse from the West Coast.
From the Dukes.
Down to Duke, Joe DeCar's bar, who's still a good friend, and trying to make sure that everyone has access. And that's one of the things that he learned. So part of what Mike Moe's trying to do is take that legacy and act accordingly.
Exactly. And I just thought it was great to have him speak at Tretzi this year to really get, just to bring that perspective to
educators. If you don't know Michael Moe, look him up and you can see the kind of work that he's done.
Absolutely.
Partnered with Arizona State University and GSV have created the biggest educational tech conference going on.
Like 4,000 people show up.
Yeah, I think the next one they're having is in San Diego.
Yes, so, San Diego, absolutely. And I got a great chance to talk to him after he gave his keynote. Got to talk to him backstage. And what was really interesting, Audrey, was so twice before we got a chance to actually speak, people were like knocking on the door wanting to just say hello to him and talk about what their connection was to the Steel Valley and to Homestead. And you know, he talked to each and every one of them and got their story and was
really, he makes the time.
Yeah.
He makes the time. We had two kids who were entrepreneurs and building a really cool company.
Okay.
And he was very jazzed by them. And he gave them some really like great hard VC feedback.
I love it, man.
In a crowd.
That's
it was so great.
Awesome.
It was really great.
So cool. I'm just really pumped to be able to have, you know, got 9.5 minutes of his time, which would be our next segment, just to learn a little bit more about what he's up to and how he's really trying to impact the world with education and technology as far as that goes. So one Mike Moe, very, very cool dude. And also on today's show, we've got some great people stopping by today. We have Ingrid Cook from Shazoom stopping by. Revolutionizing the way you get an estimate when you're in a fender bender. I didn't realize how much money you can save and how much time and hassle efficiency
she's
can
really
be found.
Cool. Yeah.
And she's also doing lots of other things around leadership and things like that that we're going to talk about. So we have Ingrid Cook stopping by from Shazoom. Really, really cool woman. Excited to talk to her. And we also have one Dan Seedham stopping by from Black Ice. He's working with Platypus, really cool robotics company.
They were a finalist for Tech 50.
They were a finalist for Tech 50. And I guess Black Ice is really helping Platypus move forward and enter new markets. And we're going to learn about how Black Ice has been helping Platypus and what Platypus is up to these days. So there's a lot going on here on a Friday night, Audrey. I think it's so much fun for us to be able to get this kind of variety of people out there and show this is what's happening here in Pittsburgh. I wish there was a way that we could get someone like Mike Moe to put like a little outpost here, right?
Well, he is. That's what he's working on.
Is he going to?
He leaked that out today.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
What was the leak here? I didn't get that part.
Just
all
attention.
I got was one little
pay
drip.
Pay attention. That's it.
Just one little drip.
That's it.
Okay, I'll try.
We'll know more. 2019.
Absolutely. Well, that's exciting to know that Pittsburgh is on his radar because
always has been.
You know, and always has been. And I think if anything, the more he's here, the deeper of an affinity he gets for the region as far as that goes. So I don't know, man. Very, very cool stuff. Anyhow, Audrey, we are just now settling into our new space over in Nova Place, which has been very exciting. I don't know where 2018 went to, but 2019 is upon us. And I know, Audrey, we are very excited to be in our new space in Nova Place.
We are. We're grooving it.
Yeah, it is. We're in the middle of things. I mean, people actually walk into our offices and they want to learn more about the Tech Council. They want to learn more about the tech industry. And we didn't have that before over the past 20 plus years when we were in our old space. So I think it's really great being part of the North Side community.
It is. I can't wait to get more connected into the North Side. We want to be good neighbors, not just good people who have offices there.
Exactly.
So we want to make sure that we understand that neighborhood and how to stay connected.
Exactly. Plus, it's a nice, easy drive from there to the studio. It's like a quick hop right on the parkway and boom, you're here. I'm just saying, I think it's great. I think it's going to be 2019. It's just going to be really transformative for the Tech Council in our new space. And also some podcast series we're going to be spinning up with Tech Vibe Radio to bring you more deep dives in what's happening in Pittsburgh's technology sector here as far as that goes. So I can't wait. Anyhow, Audrey said, we got a great show in front of us. I want to remind everybody, if you want to learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council, go to pghtech.org. Four different ways we help our tech companies succeed, whether you're looking for talent, business connections, visibility, and just plain old advocacy to have a great business environment. That's what we're in business to do. So anyhow, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Mike Moe from Baldwin High School. Really cool. He was our keynote speaker from TRETC 2018. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you're dialed into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. And one of the best parts of doing Tech Vibe Radio is taking the show on the road. You know how much I love doing that. I get to talk to some of the coolest, the greatest people out there that are really making the world tick. We're talking to Mike Moe from GSV. He's not a Pittsburgh guy, but he's kind of becoming a Pittsburgh guy. And he's actually our keynote speaker at our 2018 TRETC, the Three Rivers Educational Technology Conference. And this guy is everything about ed tech. And he's an amazing fellow. And he's like a crowd out here. It's amazing. People are knocking on the dressing room door here to say hello. So, Mike, first off, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for stopping out to Pittsburgh. Tell our listeners a little bit about Mike Moe.
Oh, well, thanks. My privilege being here. You know, my background is an investor with emerging growth companies. I started GSV 7 years ago. So GSV stands for Global Silicon Valley. Well, so we're based in Silicon Valley, but we see this phenomena of innovation entrepreneurship that's made Silicon Valley such a remarkable place going global around the world. Pittsburgh is a great example of that.
Very much so. So how often do you actually get to Pittsburgh? Is this maybe like once, twice a year? How often do you kind of fly through here?
Well, my very good friend Bill Campbell and I would come here regularly. And I believe that, you know, so historically I've come here pretty frequently, and I think with the different activity going on in the Pittsburgh market with Carnegie Mellon and artificial intelligence and autonomous driving and so forth, I think I'll be here, continue to come here frequently.
So you give a fascinating presentation to a sold-out crowd here. I mean, like, literally, the auditorium here at Baldwin High School was just packed, hardly a place to even sit. And, I mean, the trends that are going on within education this year are absolutely startling. And as you were kind of bringing some points home, I'm just like thinking, wow, I'm glad men and women like you are thinking about these things and really starting to redirect how kids are learning these days and really how technology is impacting the way, you know, the kids are learning. And really, it's not just kids, everybody learning, because as you're saying, it's a lifelong thing. We don't stop at age 25 and then say, hey, I'm done as far as that goes. Maybe just kind of go over some of the key things that are kind of in your mind right now when it comes to what's driving the trends in education and how technology is solving that.
Well, first of all, just back up macro. We're in a global marketplace, a knowledge-based economy where what you know, your education makes a difference not only for an individual, but for a company and, for that matter, a country. And so the need and the importance of education is larger than it's ever been. But technology has an opportunity to really be a major enabler, democratizing access to learning, improving access, increasing, lowering the cost, and ultimately, we think, improving the quality. And so that's a big deal. Some of the trends we're seeing are what I call these rapidly growing, scaled business models, which are unusual for education. You know, historically, education was more niche-y. Now you're seeing these, what I call, weapons of mass instruction. And so
I love that so much.
Well, it's an interesting description because, you know, a company like Coursera, for example, 36 million students on its learning platform. The company didn't exist 5 years ago. 150 universities that students from around the world have access to these great courses for free. So 600,000 new students come to Coursera every single month. That's larger than any university in the world. Remarkable. That's an example of the type of ideas that we're seeing. A company called Remind, 27 million monthly active users are on the Remind platform, really creating communication between teachers, parents, and students.
I mean, the idea that education levels is just so important, because as you mentioned before in your remarks, how much of the world is being left behind. And now that with technology platforms that people can access, that is now starting to change. Where do you see us moving forward as we get more people obviously educated, more minds being brought to the table to bring even more solutions to the table and to make the world a better place?
Well, and I think there's a couple incredibly encouraging facts that we see. One, the level of talent in terms of entrepreneurs that are coming to the education ed tech market is unprecedented. Entrepreneurs are excited about the opportunity. They see the need. They see the problem. Entrepreneurs attack problems. That's exciting. And along with that, you're seeing venture capital come to this market at significant levels. So it's grown to about sixfold in the past 7 years. So last year, about $4 billion was invested in ed tech companies from venture capitalists, which is, you know, it's a significant number. And so that those trends are great because, you know, these problems are significant. You know, you do have a world, and it's not just the United States, it's really a world where fewer and fewer people have the skills and education that are needed to be productive, to be successful, to participate in the future. And so education technology has the opportunity to level that playing field and give these people the opportunity to be successful.
Absolutely. Reminding our listeners, we're talking to Mike Mo from Global Silicon Valley, our keynote speaker here at TRETSI. Such a joy being able to talk to you about the future of education and how technology is impacting that. I want to talk a little bit about higher education. You had a stat up there saying, you know, the average, cost of higher education is $250,000. And what does that really mean? That's a lot of money to get some skills that maybe will be out of date in 4 or 5 years. Where do you see higher education moving? I know at Carnegie Mellon University, they're really thinking hard about how this is changing and where they need to be. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, a major issue is cost and access, because the 250, you know, we need a population that has more education, more skills, and just the idea of what, you know, just the cost alone becomes prohibitive for many students. Secondly, is just the physical location where campuses are. You know, that works for some people. I mean, an 18 to 22-year-old, maybe it works for many of them, although 70% of college students today work. But for a lot of people, it doesn't. So think about how you get that. You know, you really have to be on a physical campus to get the education that you need. In some cases, the answer is yes. In many cases, no. In fact, you look at the students in college today, over 50% think that online is actually as good or better than actually go to a physical class. So I think that when you think about the future of higher education, I think it's going to evolve. It's going to maybe not radically change, but it's going to evolve, and it has to evolve.
Absolutely. I mean, you brought the point that, you know, students kind of want these classes when it fits their schedule as well, too, since the online seems like a really interesting way that things are going to be progressing. And you mentioned the stats with some of these online platforms with really millions and millions of users. Obviously, that's where the direction of this is going, which is just absolutely exciting. So what are some key takeaways? Like when you're at a high school here, like a Baldwin High School, and you see students that are out here, what do you tell a 16-year-old or 17-year-old student that's just super interested in all types of things, whether they're interested in math and science and communications? How do you tell them to kind of pursue the future, like, and to keep things open?
Well, one, you know, I think one of the key things that any person needs, and certainly a high school student or a college student, is to learn to learn, because you are no longer going to fill up your knowledge tank at age 25 and drive off through life. You're going to continually need to be learning if you want to stay current. So just the skill of learning to learn and the habit of learning to learn. And that is, you know, you acquire knowledge and skills a variety of ways. Some of it's experience, some of it's books you read, some of it's courses you take, a lot of it's mentors. I mean, we talked about Bill Campbell and, you know, the influence.
Great point.
Yeah, you know, Bill Campbell and the, you know, influence he's had on so many people, and certainly me. You know, that coach, that teacher, that person that took an interest, having somebody who can be a mentor, all that contributes to developing the skills and character you need to be productive.
Without a doubt. So we've got about a minute or so left. People want to get in touch with you, learn more about GSV, nerd out. Where can they go and learn more?
Well, GSV.com is a place to start. I've written a couple books, so the most recent being the Global Silicon Valley Handbook. We have a number of conferences that we host, one in San Diego focused on education technology, the ASU-GSV Summit. 5,000 people come, 450 education technology companies will present. But we do a variety of things, and, you know, we like to interact with people that are smart, doing things, want to impact the world. So we welcome inquiries as well.
Fantastic stuff. So happy I got to talk with you today. Really just gets my mind churning. I wish we had another 10 minutes to talk about this. Mike Mo from GSV. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council here on Tech Vibe Radio. Bring it to you every single Friday night, talking to the best and brightest minds really making Pittsburgh pop. Hang on for a quick break. I'll be right back with you. Welcome back, everybody. I am so glad you are dialed into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. You're spending good use of your time learning about all the cool stuff happening in Pittsburgh's technology sector. Simple as that. And Audrey, we don't mess around with our guests. We always bring you the best and brightest of what's happening here in Pittsburgh. And we have Ingrid Cook with us. Ingrid, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for inviting me. Yeah. I'm so excited to
And
be
Audrey
here.
Just plugged your headset in for you, so now you are really ready to go.
I am. I said, hey, I can't hear.
Like, this is why. Click. So everything's coming through loud and clear for you. That's fantastic.
Jonathan, this is so fabulous. I actually remember growing up as a kid watching KDKA.
Yeah.
And to be here and walk in and see the big KDKA
really?
Sign.
Are you you're a native Pittsburgh?
I am.
I always forget
I'm from Manesson.
Okay.
The Mon Valley.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I left when I was 17, right after high school.
Still.
But I recently relocated back after, 26, 27 years.
So how long have you been back in Pittsburgh for?
2 years.
2 years. Where were you before Pittsburgh?
So I left graduated Manesson High School in 91. Then I went to Tufts University for a year out in Boston. Then I went to Atlanta, graduated Spelman, worked for nearly
20
years.
Oh, wow, you're a Spelman grad.
Spelmanite. Yes.
Spelmanite.
Wow.
Fancy, man.
Yes.
Very fancy.
Just had our homecoming, actually, last weekend. Huh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, we're excited to have you on the show. Just let our listeners know, you're with Shazoom Company. You found it. I love the story behind this. Hey, I like the idea of this company. It's just amazing to me.
I love how you say the word Shazoom.
Yeah.
You just, say it so well. Say,
hey, you can use me for voiceovers anytime. I won't even charge you. Shazoom.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I'll do it.
I'm
trying to create a career here in voiceovers. This could be my first one.
You sound great.
Well, thank you.
You sound great.
I'm trying my
best. Look at this. They're sucking up to you.
Hey, you got to, you know?
I tell you, he said, who's the other gentleman who's over the membership?
Ryan. Yes.
He said, well, she's going to give you a run for your money because she did radio previously. And then I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking, no way. I am no competition for you.
No.
Your voice is amazing.
Oh,
absolutely
God,
amazing.
Look at that. Wow.
I'm like
look
blushing
at the two
right
of
now,
you.
Audrey. I know. This is like crazy.
Look at the two of you.
Uh-oh.
Woo!
Get out of here, Audrey.
I'm out of here.
It's just Ingrid and I from here on out.
It's fine. I'm going to unplug.
No.
I will just misbehave quietly.
So, Ingrid, tell us about Shazoom.
So, Shazoom is an online marketplace for minor fender benders.
Minor fender benders.
Wow, I had one.
Did you?
She has one regularly.
Excuse me.
Yes.
And see, and you know what's
interesting? They're not your fault either. I will say they're never Audrey's fault.
You've been in the car with me.
Many times, yes.
We got hit.
Really?
Well, the one time
happened at a red light.
Well, the one time we got rear-ended, that was more than minor. But the last one, when that person hit you in the garage
and just left. Yeah.
So this would be a good case study for you.
Interesting.
All right. So let's hear about
it. It's interesting because more and more consumers are coming our way with questions just like that.
So let's hear before we hijack you a little.
So snap a pic, get a quote from nearby body shop. So you're a minor fender bender and it doesn't deal with dollar amount per se.
Right.
It's just where it's exterior damage.
Gotcha.
To the sheet metal. You can snap a picture depending on where you're located. It goes out to all the body shops within a 20-mile radius and they're able to send
like
you repair quotes to the phone. It saves time. It saves
energy.
It's
like thumbtack. Right?
But better.
Tell me.
Tell us.
It's better because in most customers, three types of consumers come to us.
Okay.
We're entering the fleet world now, and that's a whole new
situation.
It's great. But the concept is the same. So consumers either they are afraid of getting canceled, they want to handle it out of pocket.
Right.
So they snap a picture, get estimates. Other consumers have an estimate, one estimate in hand from their insurance company. And they want to shop it around and see, is this actually what I'm owed? A lot of people do not realize that regardless if you decide to get that minor fender bender fixed or not, if that's your insurance company, they owe to indemnify you for the full amount of those repairs. I recently got struck by an Allstate person.
Okay.
And they took care of the damages, but interesting enough, it was using my own concept of the photos. Insurance companies couldn't use photos back in 2010 when I came up with this idea and filed the patent and so forth. But now they can. But the difference is instead of the repair shops who are doing the actual repairs writing the estimate, the insurance folks are writing it at the desk based on a photo. So I had a $435 photo estimate. And when I went to get it repaired, it was triple, more than triple.
Well, say, similar case. I had my brother-in-law tag the doors on my car many couple years ago, crushed them in nice and solid.
Oh, nothing like calling him out on the air.
I am, yeah. I'm not mentioning names here, just saying.
So, I'm sure it wasn't purposely.
No. Accidents happen. It was an accident.
So 10 million of them a year.
So I took the pictures and sent them to the insurance company, and they sent me a quote for $3,500. But they didn't realize through the pictures that I have a black metallic paint on my car. And so then they didn't count some seals, and so they didn't catch everything. And so then once I got to the repair place, they're like, well, it's actually $4,500. But they had to go back and forth. But it was one of those deals where it's like, yeah, I mean, it's...
Absolutely. And that, I've read some stories that are just really grossly underwritten, where it's $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 more.
But what I loved was just the fact that I could take some pictures and not have to have someone come out to my house, or me have to take the car out and go out of your way. It at least it facilitated a lot faster.
Absolutely.
But your way seems even, you're taking that to the even better level, because you're taking it right to a bunch of people. So you create some competition going on there.
Absolutely.
And comparisons as well, too.
Back in 2010, no one was even thinking about this concept whatsoever.
And how did you come up with this? Because you weren't even thinking about this until something happened, right?
Right. Well, I of course, I'm an expert in the industry. So way back in 1995, when I graduated college, I used to work in that department. Now, but then I was far removed from that department when I came up with this idea in 2010, still within the industry. So many consider me a thought leader in regards to insurance trends, trends, and now patents all of a sudden.
Yeah.
See,
Audrey, only the best and brightest stop by here on Tech Vibe Radio.
Oh, yes. So kind.
Yeah, he's sucking up
I'm blushing. I love it. It works.
He wants to work for you.
She likes, I'm going to do some voiceover work for her. And you know,
Jonathan,
she's,
I love that.
Hey, anytime.
I mean, really, I am absolutely serious.
We'll talk afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely love that. But there was obviously a need. It solved a problem, not a problem that I was challenged with at that particular point in time. But I woke up with that idea, and
so you woke up with it.
I woke up with that on a Saturday morning. Woke up with that idea, and I am really, for anyone who knows me, I'm very spiritually grounded, and I do not believe in coincidences. I don't believe in accidents other than auto accidents. They happen.
But we can help you with that, right?
There was no, that wasn't an accident. That dream, I woke up, I grabbed my pen and paper, because I generally always keep a pen and paper near my bed, because some of my best, very best ideas throughout the years, they've come to me in the morning.
Well, Keith Richards. Keith Richards. He wrote the riff to Satisfaction. He woke up, wrote it, fell asleep, forgot about it, and saw it in the morning, was like, oh my goodness, one of the most famous riffs in rock and roll. This could be one of the most famous riffs in the insurance industry.
Isn't it something?
Yeah.
And so I started pursuing it.
Wow.
And for a while I questioned, because I said, well, let me at least protect the idea. And this is before I knew anything about startups, and I was a corporate woman.
Okay.
I did not know the first thing. Had I known now what I knew then, then I probably would have...
Not going to do it.
Yeah, I would have not funded that patent myself, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have known what the next steps, but unfortunately, I wasn't here in Pittsburgh with you guys in the Pittsburgh Tech Council,
or
I would have known. Yes, but I was coming back and forth, and I was trying to learn, because the medium that you've created here, Audrey, it's such, I don't know if the people here in Pittsburgh realize the value that the PTC, the Pittsburgh Tech Council, brings, and the fact that all the cities, they do not have this program or anything like it. Mm-hmm. I used to come whenever I came home to visit my family.
Okay.
I would reach out to the Pittsburgh Tech Council and go to their events.
I know.
That's how I met the Google. Google VC? What was his name? I forget his name. But
when we had it over in the
hotel.
His name?
That was so
in
the hotel.
Ago.
Yes.
What was his? Richard Miner.
Richard Miner.
And it turns out that his wife was from Pittsburgh.
Exactly. I remember him saying that. I forgot about Richard Miner. That was a while ago too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how
you've been hanging out that long.
Yeah, she came to that.
You know what? Yeah. Where I was, there was nothing
like that.
She would reach out, and I'd go, "Oh, well, here's this event, or here's this."
Wow.
And I would say to her, I could help you more, but you're not really on the ground.
Yeah. So we got to
keep going. Let's
we got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
And there's so much to talk about. We have to, first off, we have to have you stop back in the very near future again, just because I like the way you're talking here. You're giving us like you know, endorsements we weren't even asking for. But anyhow.
Oh, yeah. You guys have been fabulous. Oh, by the way, I know we're rushing, but right. Sheets. The Sheets page from the Pittsburgh Technology.
Right.
Thanks to the PTC. I'm going there this Friday
to their corporate headquarters.
To meet with the people who would actually be using the app, and they're giving me feedback.
They're very excited.
Oh, that's so
I'm
cool.
I'm excited too.
So people can download this app right now on their phone.
So what we're working on since the patent issued last year, we're working on licensing in different sectors,
and we're
exploring we have the prototype and the demo for the new and improved fleet version is what we're working on. And we're going to license out in other sectors to larger companies. We're targeting 100 million.
So we're hoping to get this on the Sheets fleet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very cool.
As an early adopter, because that's a huge industry. $1.6 billion.
Wow. So exciting. People want to learn more about Shazoom. Where can they go? What's your website?
shzoom.com.
shzoom.com.
Shazoom.
I love it. Very, very cool. Ingrid Cook, you're making us proud here, man. Jeez. I'm glad you're.
You guys have been fabulous. I could not be where I am without the support. Pittsburgh, the support here is just phenomenal. Everyone says, oh, you have to go to Silicon Valley. You got to do this.
Yeah.
No.
Pittsburgh.
This collaborative environment is awesome. Thank you.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Put me in a good mood. I love it. Fantastic stuff. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Audrey, we always keep the last segment for the best, right? We build it up. We build it and we build it the whole show. And they know we're getting to Dan Seedham here from Black Ice Strategies. And I heard it's a little slippy out there.
You don't want me to get started on Black Ice. Do you remember what happened January 2018?
Yes.
What happened?
Black Ice. You got sprawled out on the parking lot.
Man, too bad someone wasn't there to say, be careful.
Absolutely.
It was black ice, baby. Tore my hamstring, broke my finger.
Oh, I do remember.
Yeah. I couldn't walk for a long time.
You were laid out, literally.
Still can't.
Still, your finger still's got like a crook in it. Somehow.
Anyway, this is all about you guys. So let's talk about you.
So black ice, you just spun this up with your good partner, Paulette Duderstadt.
That's right.
Right?
That's right, yeah.
And tell us about black ice real quick. This is brand new on the scene.
It's entrepreneurs working with entrepreneurs.
Right.
Focusing on business building. And
God forbid,
it's as simple and as complicated as that, I guess.
Gotcha, man. I gotcha. Now, Dan, your background, I mean, you've been doing this for years and years and years.
Why does he say that?
Because
he's got experience, man.
Because I don't color my hair like Paulette.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, wow. Jeez. You know, she's
actually
in the studio with you right now.
Gray is the hip color, and people in their 20s are getting their hair gray.
Is that like so? Yeah, I shouldn't say anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want any violence here.
So, Dan, tell us, what are some of the core ways that you help companies scale and grow and form and all that kind of fun stuff?
Well, you know, so many times entrepreneurs are working, if not on their own, almost on their own.
Exactly.
Or focused solely on development.
And they're in a vacuum because they're by themselves.
That's right. And customers don't buy incomplete products. They have to be marketed. Investors don't invest in products.
Right.
They invest in businesses.
Wait, exactly. Incomplete products? I would say Microsoft is infamous for that.
Well, they've had a pretty good head start, though, right? Like 100 years
so
or something.
What,
like that.
So right what now. If it doesn't work all the way? You're never going to use it all.
Well, a lot of customers we encounter are tired of paying to be a beta tester.
I know, right? It's so true.
Exactly right.
We're in that era now.
We are.
And that's what I was saying. You have deep experience in helping people actually take that product and turn it into something that's not just a product, but it's a business, right?
Yeah, we work with them to wrap a real business around that, albeit maybe early stage and small. But, you know, a little bit of experience can go a long way at the early stages. And so trying to reduce risk just a little early on kind of
makes a huge difference
over time.
It pays its dividends.
Yep.
And so we're here to talk about Platypus, a company you've been working with in Justice Wave. So I'm excited to kind of learn about the company. It was a Tech 50 finalist this year, which we thought was very exciting, and how you engage with them and how you're helping them move forward. And 2019 is upon us, and I'm expecting a big year for Platypus.
Well,
pressure's on, Dan.
Platypus
pressure's on.
Is expecting a big year for Platypus.
Yeah.
Well, the short of it is we use cooperative robotic boats to collect data about inland water. And then
cooperative, you see, there's a fleet of boats out on,
exactly.
on a lake or a body of water, and they're monitoring the water, right?
Yeah, a lake, a lagoon for an
oil. I love lagoons. Lagoons are a lot more fun than lakes. I'm just saying.
But, we collect the data. We analyze that data in our software application, Aquatical Analytics. And then we can characterize that, make recommendations, and ultimately we want to be able to help them predict what that lagoon is going to sound like, look like.
Right.
Data or silt, sludge, water quality, all those things.
So is this something?
Future.
So if you're like an oil producer, these out in the ocean, like around like a oil rigs and things like that?
No, this is all inland water.
All inland waters? Okay.
We just closed on our biggest order with an oil and gas company here in the States.
Ah.
And on that refinery, there's a lot of water being used, and so it has to be cleaned and monitored and all that stuff, right, in order to make sure, from a regulatory perspective, they're not violating
any laws. So this fleet of boats then monitors the water and comes back with a report saying if it needs attention or if it's clean, then
a boat uploads data, which then gets downloaded into Aquatical Analytics, and we got a lot of really smart guys from
what are the
CMU.
Skills like are the skills that they have to be like marine biologists, predictive analytics people?
For the predictive aspects, we do have biologists on our staffing scheduled to be hired. It started off mechanical and embedded software people.
Okay, so now you need...
So the boats are essentially done. They're cost-optimized for manufacturing. So we actually lease them. We don't sell them.
Right, I remember hearing that.
And so now it's all about rapidly collecting high-fidelity data, analyzing it, and reporting back to the customer.
And so who are the customers? I mean, I can see a lot of different verticals.
Oil and gas, municipalities.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
And federal regulatory bodies.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, you could go in the Monongahela and the Allegheny.
We have been
just for fun,
in
and
both.
Tell us some stuff that I don't want to know about.
It was an eye opener for me how little we know about what we cook in, what we bathe in, what we drink every day.
Okay, I'm not happy about that. Are you going to solve this?
Look, we can't do everything, Audrey. But we are part of the solution.
He can just report the horrifying data, right?
So do you report this in a way that's meaningful that maybe we could tell the world?
Well, we're certainly telling whoever owns that body of water what that looks like underneath the water, what's in the water.
But couldn't you come to my house and tell me some stuff?
A little floater
on
your bathtub.
Do you have a lagoon, perhaps?
She does.
I do.
At the Russo
Estates. If you have a lagoon... We're all over this.
Exactly.
We're all over this.
Oh, I have a moat, too.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It'll do loops around the moat.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And tell you how awful the water is. Smoking cigarettes while going around the moat. Even better yet.
That's right.
Only on Tech Vibe Radio. As simple as that.
Well, so that's like very, very cool.
It really is.
Is there any competition in this space?
There are some... Certainly on the ocean-going side, that's gotten a lot of attention.
But not inland water type stuff.
Much, much bigger, much more expensive. Paul Sari, the founder and CEO and the crew, purposely built an inexpensive data collect device so that we could use this pretty much in any application.
Gotcha.
And so if we're in the Allegheny or the Monongahela, we get mowed over by a barge. We're irritated, but we simply go to the truck and get another boat.
Get another boat because
the smallest
they're disposable.
Ones. Yeah, essentially, it's disposable, boring robotics that's doing some really important work.
Very cool. Hey, we're talking to Dan Seaton from Black Ice, who's working with a really cool company called Platypus. I love the idea of robotic boats out on the water. collecting data.
Well, in a fleet.
In a fleet. You know, just kind of working cooperatively.
Yeah, but of course.
Before they were uncooperative and it was just a mess.
No, so we get into fights.
We don't want to get into that. Boat fights are terrible.
Arguments.
Don't need
horrible.
That. But no, this is only in Pittsburgh can we see this type of company growing. And what I love is here's a company that came out of Carnegie Mellon. Is that where the technology came out of? And they get to a certain point, like, we need help scaling this. Who's out there? Mm-hmm. And they find Dan and they find Paulette to help take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. That's Pittsburgh. It's ecosystem in play right now.
Just explained our business model very, very concisely.
I can work with you guys afterwards as well if you want on this. You know, I want to help keep shaping your communication strategy, of course.
That's why we come to Tech Vibe. It's absolutely. Not just for exposure.
Exactly.
It's
the counseling you get from me afterwards. That's very helpful. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. We know that. Well, I think it's so cool that this is going on, that you're working on these types of projects. What's next for Platypus coming up in 2019? So, more customers? Is there new technology being added?
We are full on in terms of advancing aquatical analytics.
Yeah,
the usability aspects of it, the predictive capabilities.
Okay,
but it's really customer acquisition. We've kind of traversed that risky period. Does it work? Will it
right.
work? Will anyone
You've
use it?
You've proven the technology.
Now
right.
it's time to hit the gas.
Make it a business.
And make it a real live business.
So what would be interesting, I think Audrey would agree with me on this, if you could have a couple of these fleets just going up and down the rivers to report water quality, combine it with the Breathe projects, you can get water and air quality going.
I know.
At
so,
the
so
same
some
time.
Some of our applications, we partner with drone companies.
Okay.
And so above the water, below the water, what's in the water.
I want to know what's in the water.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
you think you do.
you think
and
you do.
You should.
You should.
But
not always the case.
Not always the case.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, solving the problem of our waters is a big, big problem.
Yeah. If you mean like Earth, you're exactly right. We've deployed on 7 of the 8 continents. Hopefully Antarctica will still be there. Whenever
it's more and more liquid every
blankets.
Day, right?
Do you know that people are throwing blankets on some of these glaciers?
What? I hadn't heard that. Really?
Oh, mm-hmm. No. They're actually...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a big problem everywhere. A big problem everywhere.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's kind of cool that you guys are working with them and helping this company get to the next level.
I think it's really great.
And I think one of the things that's going to be so key to this is our new location.
Tell us about this location. I think I've seen you guys before.
Yeah, it's at a place, Pittsburgh,
that Tech Council, I think?
Yes.
I thought we were talking about water.
Technology Council. No.
We're not talking about water. We're talking about the awesome new PTC space.
They're one of our new co-working folks right here, which we're really excited about having you guys in our offices, which I think is fantastic.
It's a great place.
Yeah, we're excited to have you guys hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And what's great is I think we've had so much interest, people coming in, checking out some of the desks. I don't even know if we have any left anymore, to tell you the truth. I think we might have rented them all out.
We'll probably work out a sublease.
There you go.
What we'd be prepared to do that if it's financially viable.
We do have that little phone closet as well, too. So there is the ability for you guys to move in.
Or
that,
as we're calling it now, a standing office.
Standing office. Paulette referred to it as Dan's timeout room as well. So
it is probably going to be one of its uses.
At some point in time, I believe that. But no, we are pumped to have Black Ice hanging out at the Tech Council, because you're going to be bringing people into our doors. They'll get a little taste of the Tech Council.
I just want water. Yeah, very cool.
And I just want water.
It's nice to work on something important.
Very much so. If people want to learn more about Black Ice, where can they go?
BlackIceStrategies.com.
Just that simple. Even I can remember. And of course, Platypus. Where can I learn more about Platypus?
SensePlatypus.com.
SensePlatypus.com.
Yes.
That's great.
Dan Seaton, we love having you stop by Tech Vibe Radio.
It's always great to see you guys.
Good stuff.
And seriously, the new space is
awesome. We're pumped.
Awesome.
No, great, great stuff. Anyhow, another Tech Vibe Radio in the belt. I told you, we saved the best for last. Simple as that. There's no fooling around. I do not lie here on Tech Vibe Radio.
I want to swim in those rivers.
No, you don't.
Why don't you let us have a look, see first, before you
then,
jump
then
in.
We'll let you take a dip.
Yeah.
Cross the moat first. But anyhow, we're all out of time. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. And then follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Thanks, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.